Hello and welcome to Jeanette's TV and Jeanette's TV podcast. I'm your host, Jeanette Burke. Today I'm joined by Lenora Zan. You may know her as Rogue from the X-Men series, the animated series in the 90s, and now she's coming back for X-Men 97. So we're happy to have you. Welcome to Jeanette's TV and Jeanette's TV podcast, Lenora Zan. Now, if you don't know, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, Lenore is not just an actress. You know, I know she's famous for Rogue, but did you know that she also spent 12 years in the Canadian parliamentary system as a member of parliament and various other roles for the Liberal Party in the House of Commons in Canadian politics? So Lenora is not just an actor. She is also a very well-known politician. And you were born activist for women's rights and a number of other things that you participate a lot in Nova Scotia. And so I ask you then, you know, you're playing Rogue. You brought this character back. It's 30 years later. How does that feel for you? And what's the difference 30 years later?
Well, first of all, I got to say thanks so much for having me on your show. It's great to be here, and it is great to be back playing a superhero like Rogue, who is the strongest woman in the universe, and also to have been in politics for 12 years in Canada, in my home province of Nova Scotia, first of all, for 10 years as an MLA, member of the Legislative Assembly. And then I went federal for the last 2 years with the Liberals, with Prime Minister Trudeau. So I was putting all my activism and my belief in trying to change the world to make it a better place. I took it from the screen to real life. And that was very fulfilling as well. So, and now I'm back doing it on screen again. So it's pretty amazing how life will take you on an amazing journey that you just don't know where it's going to go. And sometimes it all seems to come full circle, which is great.
Well, they say art imitates life, right? So, yeah. But you're playing Rogue and you're coming back to this character. It's 30 years. What has changed in 30 years? How do you find that the 30-year difference is that, you know, being sort of implemented into the character that you're playing?
Well, the thing is, the show X-Men 97 picks up about 5 weeks or a couple of months after the last episode that we did finished. So really, in the terms of the characters, there hasn't been much character development because it's really a continuation of what we did before. Of course, we've all had, those of us who are back, have all had a full life in those 30 years. But, you know, we bring our sentiments and our experience and our knowledge back to the characters. And as the series continues, there are going to be some very intense and amazing arcs in some of our characters. So I was able to use my 30 years of life experience and put that into my acting as well, which, you know, I mean, that's the trick with acting. You use what you have, you use your memories, you use all of your senses, your emotions, and you put that and delve it into the character focused. And I was able to do that in this case. And that was very fulfilling as well.
So speaking of the character itself, right? So we're looking at a couple of things here. What do you want Rogue to stand for women and girls? And how would you use Rogue to encourage women and girls to sort of be their own superhero in their own life?
Thank you for that question. That's a really good one. You know, Rogue is considered the strongest woman in the universe physically. She can pick up buildings and throw them. She can fly through space and put asteroids off their course. She has this amazing physical ability, but she also has a great vulnerability, which is that one of her superpowers is she can't touch anybody's skin to skin, because if she does, she drains them of all their life force and takes it upon herself and becomes stronger, which means she can never really be intimate with anyone. She can never be in love. She can never allow herself to let her guard down, to fall in love with somebody and touch them. And that is an aching loneliness inside of her that, that is very difficult to live with. Many people in the world are lonely right now. Many people find it hard to connect with another who they feel is their soulmate. And so Rogue really speaks to so many people around the world who have these issues, including in the LGBTQ community. And so at one point, Rogue goes to Muir Island to try and get this scientist to take away her superpowers so that she can be just quote unquote normal like everybody else. But in the end of that episode, she realizes that it's actually her unique quirks that make her who she is, and that she alone can do things others cannot, and she can use those powers for the good, for to make the world a better place for all. And at the end of that episode, she says she realizes there ain't no cure for who you are. I reckon I can live with that because I can use my superpowers for good. And I think a lot of women need to be able to embrace themselves, warts and all, whatever parts of themselves they don't like. And we, God knows we have lots of them. And really try to accept ourselves for who we are and love ourselves and fill that void inside with self-love and self-acceptance, because that's something that is really lacking in a lot of women and girls today.
So that is something that you want then women who are coming to see the movie to take away from them, that kind of message, and be able to apply that in their own life.
Absolutely. A self-acceptance,
And how
especially
do
in this
you
day and
see
age.
Rogue sort of standing out and standing on her own against the other female and male characters in the series? How do you see her sort of standing out differently?
Well, Rogue always fights for the underdog. She will put her own life on the line for others. And she oftentimes reaches out and tries to make sure that the others in the team feel like they are part of. So she doesn't try to, make herself more grand and put down others. It's a team effort. And so Rogue, in that sense, is a really great leader. And, in my political career, I really tried to do that as well, to put a team together, bring people together, make people realize we are all in this together. It's not just about me, it's about all of us. And that together we can, together we are stronger, and that we can together make the world a better place. And I think Rogue has a great strength in that, which makes her a great leader as well.
Right. So you kind of answered my next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think you might have a little bit of a different answer, which
Okay.
is, how do you see yourself as a Rogue or being Rogue in real life, particularly through your political career and your political aspirations?
Yes. I'm writing a memoir. I actually have
Yeah,
finished
that's
it now.
coming too in my question.
And I'm calling it A Rogue's Tale.
And
So I do see myself as a bit of a rogue. A rogue, is somebody who is kind of likes to have fun in life and goes on adventures. And Rogue has all of that, and she's got a great sense of humor as well. So I have oftentimes used humor to try to connect with people and try to lighten the mood in a room. And I used that in my political career as well. But I have always felt like you must stand up for people who do not have a voice, who don't have the power. And, the fight for social justice never sleeps. So, you know, so I was constantly aware of needing to be there to be a champion for people and for groups and for groups and communities who just didn't have the strength themselves, but to be able to try to bring them into the light and give them a platform so that they can also speak for themselves as opposed to just speaking for them. I think that's really important as well.
Yeah, so how are you able to sort of marry your skill set, right? Because you have, on one hand, you're a politician, the other hand, you're an actor. I can see some crossover, but I can also see a lot of diversity, right? We don't see that many actors pursuing politics. We see a few, like we had Ronald Reagan, we had Arnold Schwarzenegger, a few others come to mind, but overall, you don't see a lot of actors stepping into the political arena. How were you able to marry and match your skill set for both roles?
Well, it's interesting, you know, when it was first announced that I was going to run for politics, there was sort of some people, there was a backlash from some people who said, well, what's she going to know about politics? She's an actor. What would she know? You know? And,
That was
right?
Justin
And I had to say, look, actors are extremely intelligent people who have to do a lot of research on their roles. They're not just interested in just acting, they're interested in a lot of things. And, you know, I have been studying politics my entire life. I've always been an activist in one way or another when it comes to the environment, for instance, or you know, like women's issues and diversity, these kinds of things. And so, and also a pacifist, definitely don't like wars. And so it took me a little while to prove myself to people, but then they stopped talking about being an actor and they forgot that I was an actor. But also in the beginning, somebody brought a picture of me from The L Word, a show I'd done out in Vancouver. And I had had a shower scene in that. And somebody sent that to the CBC 6 o'clock news the day it was announced I was running, one of the other political parties. And they tried to say, well, is this who you want running for office? Meanwhile, it was a role in a show I had done a couple of years ago. I mean, who cares? It's a nude scene in a shower, big deal. And that's what I said when I was asked. And the public in that instance came up gunning for those folks and said, hey, what are you trying to do? She's an actress. This is her job. This is the 21st century. Get over it. So a lot of actors, I'm sure, would be nervous about what would be dragged out about their career or their lives or whatever. So anybody who wants to run for politics is usually nervous about what they are going to be, you know, exposed. Like, what are people going to attack them for? And so it
Well, but
takes a bit
that's
of
true
work.
not just of actors who try to attempt a political career. Any kind of
Sure.
political candidate in Canada or the US is, you know, there's going to be some mudslinging. Unfortunately, gone to a place in politics, and more so in Canada, emulating these states where mudslinging has become, you know, a commonplace in an election. It
I
used to
know.
be maybe a little more tame, maybe handled a little with a little more discretion, a little more politeness around it, but not anymore, right? So you have to figure that that's going to come out, no matter what field you get into politics from.
Right,
So
exactly.
getting back to your novel or your book that you're coming out, The Rogue's Tale, which will be out in the fall, I believe, of 2024, so about a year from now.
Few
What are
months.
you looking to share? What's the message there that you want people to know about? So obviously it's your rogue's tale. It's not just about the role of rogue, but it's about you, your life.
Yes.
And since you've had such an interesting life, what do
Thank
you
you.
want people to understand and know? I mean, in the little bit of research I've done on you, I mean, you've traveled a lot. You've lived in multiple countries. You've been an actress, you've been a politician. I don't think people, as many people might not know that you were actually born in Australia. You're not really a Canadian. So, I mean, you are a Canadian, but you weren't born a Canadian. How does it all fit into the book? What are you going to tell people about yourself that they don't already know about you? And how is it going to tie in to this whole theme of a rogue, which you play so well?
Thank you. Well, yeah, I'm a dual citizen, Australian, Canadian, and I have a green card in the United States. And the book starts off in my early years in Australia, living in the bush, really, north of Sydney, with my grandmother, who lived beside an Aboriginal reserve called Karua. And as a little girl, my best friends, my only friends, were a family of Aboriginal children who lived down the road from my grandmother, with their grandmother, Mrs. Ping, who had adopted a lot of these children who had been abandoned by their mothers. And my grandmother and Mrs. Ping were best friends. And the kids and I would run back and forth between my grandmother's place and their grandmother's place. And our grandmothers taught us to love and protect the environment, the little animals, the flora and fauna. And I really got an incredible sense of what life is all about as a young child, living so close to nature in Karua. And at one point, I noticed that white people that were driving by Mrs. Ping's place were throwing garbage in her yard. And they were like, they would always throw garbage and throw things in her yard. And I said to my grandmother, "Why are they doing that? Why are they doing that to Mrs. Ping?" And my grandmother said, "Lenore, there's this thing called racism. And some white people think that they are more important or better than people who have a darker colored skin. And they're wrong." And I said, "Well, that's terrible, because poor Mrs. Ping, that must make her feel really awful, and that they're putting all this garbage, making her feel like she's garbage." And I remember that. And years later, when I went into politics, and Dr. Ingrid Waldron came to me with this idea to try and stop environmental racism. When she explained to me that environmental racism is the disproportionate number of toxic dumps, waste sites, landfills, and corporate polluters that are placed on or beside racialized communities, mainly Black or First Nations communities, I had an aha moment where I realized, oh my God, I know what that is. And that was the impetus for me to get behind it and introduce my first bill about an act to address environmental racism. So my book is about taking the knowledge that you glean from the world and putting it into something effective that is going to try to make the world a better place, but also at the same time, trying to accept yourself for who you are, which is a struggle for many. I also quit drinking alcohol 28 years ago this month. So it's going to talk about my struggle with alcohol, and also my ability to then overcome it. And in the end, it's also talking about the fact that no matter what, I have had deaths, incredible deaths in the family at young ages, and a mass shooting in my riding, and lost my seat after the pandemic and the mass shooting, and didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And then Disney calls saying, "Do you want to come back and be a superhero in Hollywood?" So my message to people is never give up. Life is a roller coaster. You've just got to hang on.
So what will be next for you, Lenore, when you finish this new series coming out? It's called X-Men 97. What will be next for you? Or are you
Well,
waiting to find the next adventure in your life?
to be honest, we just found out yesterday that we've been greenlit. Disney has greenlit a third season, so I'm still recording. I'm recording season 2 and season 3. We will be starting on at some point. And the show is so successful, they had 100% Rotten Tomatoes approval rating. And we had 4 million people view the show within the first 4 days. So that show is going to be keeping me busy for some time. And I'm doing a lot of Comic-Con appearances for the show, going right across America and Canada. I'm meeting the fans, talking about the show, talking about Rogue. And I have a new a movie, an animated film that will be coming out next year called Space Bears. And in it, I play a little bear named Graham Cracker, who teaches all these other bears. They go around in outer space, and their mission is to save dying planets and teach the inhabitants to preserve and protect the environment. And so it's really sweet. It's for children, and it's a musical, so I get to sing as well.
Oh,
So that,
you
you know,
sing
yeah, I sing. I've got an album coming out. My book will be coming out in the fall, and I have a movie that's streaming right now in Canada called The Madones, and I play Gladys Madone. So people can check that out on all the streaming platforms.
too. Okay, well, you certainly are a busy lady, and it sounds like you're doing some really amazing things that are in total alignment with you from the time you were a child to where you are now, which is incredible. I don't know that many people that are in that kind of alignment. So hats off to you.
You
Congratulations to you. That's great.
appreciate
And
that.
before we let you go, we need to have you say your website where we can go to see all of it, your album, your book, your movies, the X-Men series, everything. So if you just state your website for us, we'll make sure it's included in the show notes.
Thank you. Well, I don't have a website yet. I'm working on the website, but people can follow me on Instagram at Lenore Zann, LenoreZann, and on Twitter, X, at Zann Lenore, or Facebook, just Lenore Zann. But, I should mention one thing, too, which is the bill that I introduced about environmental racism. I reintroduced it federally, and it's called, A National Strategy to Address Environmental Racism and Environmental Justice. And it went almost all the way through the House while I was an MP, but they called a snap election and I lost my seat. So my friend Elizabeth May from the Green Party asked if she could reintroduce it for me because I'm not there. And so I said yes, and I flew to Ottawa, met with Prime Minister Trudeau and our Environment Minister, Gilbeau, and asked if they would support the bill. And they said they would. So right now, the bill is back in the House. It's in the Senate. It just went through the Environment Committee in the Senate, and it's poised and it should be ready, hopefully, to pass this year. So if it does, I will be so happy because that has been 10 years in the making.
Okay, well, that sounds very interesting. All your links to your social media will be included in the show notes. So, and the audience, if you didn't catch it, don't worry, it'll be there and you can find out more. Lenore, thank you so much for sharing this time with me today. Thank you to
Just
my audience for joining in as well. We love to see you there's a new Jeanette's TV and Jeanette's TV podcast episode out every Monday. So we hope you'll come back then. And you can find us everywhere. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, every single site you can think of. And we have 13 podcast sites as well. So you can find us everywhere. For a complete listing, please check the show notes below of where to watch and listen to us. And we'll see you next time on Jeanette's TV and Jeanette's TV podcast. This is Jeanette Burke, your host, signing off.